all of us if in this new
group. It happened to a few people that you got disconnected. And I was too busy dealing with all the other groups to catch up. But what happened with your partner, Jean, Heidi, sent me a message through Zoom, which was like, help. So I went and joined her group and got to say hi to her and talk to her. And then I could add her to another group.
Oh, okay.
Then
good.
I went and helped another group, and I missed a few people who weren't assigned because it is a lot of custodial work to manage all of this and to be available for your students. And, you know, my personal preference is for, you know, relationship over performance.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, I've as a magician, I've performed on TV. I performed for thousands of people at the New York State Fair. I like close-up magic. I like the relationship and the interaction, and I like what this context affords. But before I ask you how things went, I want to mention two things. One is, you know, I think it was Iris was talking about the difficulty of getting people's cameras set up and how much time it took you to do that in your first session. Let me make a suggestion. When I teach ATM to a class, and I've taken a few years sabbatical after more than 30 years of teaching regular ATM. I still teach in trainings and online, but I'm not part of our local teaching group at the moment. It's been a few years. But you know, my preference has always been, and when I ran individual classes, my preference has always been to meet the students before the class. And here, I don't mean through email. I mean through a direct conversation. It doesn't have to be a video chat, just a phone call, but at least a real-time conversation. And that's a time where I ask them, what do you want to learn? Why are you coming? Are there positions on the floor or whatever that you're not comfortable in? It gives a person a chance to tell me things that I want to know, like if they have a colostomy bag, right? Or if they've had back surgery or whatever, that they might not want to say in front of the whole group. It gives me a chance to adjust my class to the person and to know what's important to them and to create rapport. Now, you could do that non-verbally in a class, maybe, but it's really hard to do that in this medium. So I think, you know, in doing a class, I would want to do an interview with each of the students, maybe 15 or 20 minutes. I think that investment will change the tone of the class. When I was a magician and I had to perform on stage in a nightclub, that I would go and do close-up magic at every table. Right, so I would have a connection with the people in the audience, and performing for a bunch of however drunk or whatever people that you have a connection with is different than being up in front of a group of strangers. Right. It's worth your time to create that relationship, right? And then one other question, and this was a great thing. What if you're teaching, like I just had a conversation with another friend about this, teaching ATM to your friends and your family, and most of them haven't done it, or to your students, how do you do that? Well, I think even more so than in general, you got to think of the first lesson as part of it, as teaching them how to benefit from a lesson. Right? And I think you could, you know, sometimes I say, look, this is a different way of learning, right? There are different kinds of exercise. There's strength and endurance training. There's cardiovascular exercise. There's stretching. I'm speaking as a movement scientist, right? All of those require doing more than what you normally do. There's a fourth kind of exercise, right? Sensory motor education. I like to say coordination. And that I like to think of what we're doing as the model that I'm presenting is coordination coaching, right? Which is teaching people to develop their abilities. It's about developing abilities. That's what Moshe called awareness through movement, the book in Hebrew. But, you know, so I think at the beginning, I like to tell people this is different. And let me tell you how to get the most out of doing this. And if I have people in class who have, are experienced, I might ask them to say, well, what did you learn from taking these classes that helped you get more out of them? Because the participants, the students, are going to value it more coming from the people in your class. And that way, the people who are there get to contribute to the community of learners, and you get to recognize that they've been your loyal students, right? Instead of them having to hear you repeat all the beginning stuff again, they get to contribute. So take an easy lesson, use the test movement so people can see that the difference between the beginning and the end. And in each step of the lesson, include some other aspect, paying attention to your breath in one, the smoothness of the movement in another, where your attention is, like the difference between like where you're moving through space, the path of the movement, and your foundation, how your contact is changing with the floor. So that you introduce them to what it means to be a student. And you talk about the challenge of it too. And you give them permission not to be perfect at it the first time. All right, before we go, hi, Ava, are you saying hi to me? Here, let me unmute you.
But I do it for you too, if you want to.
thank you, okay. Nice to see you. One of my classmates from Amherst. Wow, good to see you, my friend. So look, would you like to share what happened when you were in your groups? Do you have homework? Do you have a doggy bag? Please, what do you have to say?
Larry, one thing that we talked about in our group.
Yes.
Was how nice it would be. We're all going to be teaching a class this week, and how nice it would be to be able to get together and see how it went. So can you make our information available to us so that we contact information?
That's really, because I have a meeting account and not a webinar account, labor intensive to do that.
Okay.
We are going to collect people's address and it took a while to do that from last week, just because you have to manually do that. And there's a lot going on. I'm shy to share people's addresses without their permission. And I don't want to make people have to actively do that. So let me, I was thinking the same thing though. You know, it would be like, I had thought of offering like a supervision group for people who wanted to support in teaching. But I am offering, and before I forget, permit me a moment. I'm sorry for you guys have been chatting with me. I just don't have the bandwidth to pay attention to the chat. You know, one way to do that, which I didn't do today because I didn't have any, I asked, I couldn't find anybody to do that, but would be to have a co-host who would be taking care of some of the stuff in the background and who would be like maybe through WhatsApp sending me questions I need to pay attention to. But I had enough to pay attention to today, right? Because there's a lot of you here. This is a choice you have to make. I'm not saying you should teach a large class or a small class. I would suggest a semi-private class and charging more. And if you're teaching a private class, certainly charge more than you charge for an individual ATM, because people are paying for your attention and your expertise. Again, you can give it away if you want. I'm not saying you should charge, but I think our work, it's up to you and who you work with and where you are. Anyways, what did you learn, please? We're almost out of time. Well, we are out of time, but you know, I'm gonna stay here for a little while and let this run, say, for another 15 minutes or so.
Hey, Larry.
If you have something to say. Hey, Brent.
Hi, Larry. It's Brent Kasilovich from Vernon, British Columbia, Canada. And in answer to that last question, what I would direct people to do is to go click on the chat button here in Zoom, then choose the name of the person that you were in a group with, send them a private message with your email, and ask them to do the same back to you. And you can do that, and it's, and that way, whoever you're with in your breakout group, you could do that together.
You know, okay? Thank you. You know, yet I was going, duh. There's my dumb moment for today. Yesterday, I did suggest that on the group. But look, I don't know. I'm over 50. I depend on collective memory and Google. And this is a community event. You know, so thanks, Brent. We're in this together. So again, I have that moment of like, oh shit, I wish I'd remembered, but I'm glad that you piped in.
Larry, I have a technical question.
Okay, Jackie.
When you break everybody out into a group and you've got stragglers, how do you herd them back into a group?
At the top of the breakout group list that you see, there's people who are listed as unassigned. Uh-huh. And you can click on them and assign them to a group. You can also look over the groups, which I did do at the very beginning to make sure no one's alone. And you could click on that person and move them to another group.
Got it. Thanks.
I randomly assigned the group, but if you had a smaller group and you had people who were study buddies and you gave them assignments and things to work on in between, for the small groups, you could manually assign people. You know, beyond a handful or, I don't know, maybe a dozen, it gets a little tedious because people have to wait while you do that. But as the convener of the meeting, you have the possibility of doing that.
I have another technical question.
Hi, Francie.
Hi. Lighting. You can see that my lighting here is just not good. And I've been looking into, I mean, there's little selfie rings that you can get that fit on your computer. I was just wondering, I look around at some of your faces and some of you just, your face is really well lit up and Jacqueline's is really well lit up. And what is it that you guys are doing?
Well, I move the lights around in my house. Well, actually, this time, I have a light. I have one of these lights that you can adjust the warmth and coldness of it and the brightness of it. And it has a stand. And sometimes I use that, especially when I'm teaching at night. But I have the way that my desk is set up, I have lights on either side, I have a shade so I can let more or less light in. And that's worked out really well. I did buy this other light that I use sometimes. And there are guides online for how to do this. And there's people who provide some guidance for that for free. But, you know, I would say move the lamps around in your house. And, you know, sometimes lights are too direct, so throwing a pillowcase over a lamp, I mean, as long as the pillowcase is not touching the bulb, blah, 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 can make for a much softer and less direct and less harsh light. That's a really low-tech thing to do. And it's nice to see your face. We've talked on the phone, but I've never met you in, you know, face-to-face. So nice to see you, Francie. Becky says, high side lighting makes you seem more three-dimensional. Yeah, and here I have the camera up above, right? And I'm looking at the camera when I'm talking to you because if I look at you, I'm not looking at the camera. But, you know, people advise that it's kind of better than, you know, when you have the camera, like, looking up your nose. That's just not really such a great view. And even in taking pictures, you know, people say this is a more complimentary angle. Somebody else, what's your homework assignment? What are you going to do? Do you all have something to do?
May I ask you something about lighting? It's Margot Shaw. I'm
Margot.
In New York. So I forget the name of the woman who was asking, but the light needs to shine on your face. And in your situation where you are, it's behind you. It's not in front of you.
I move my computer around so that I've got light over here coming in this way. And I still need to figure out how to get some coming this way, I think.
Here's the secret. Francie, you're not alone. find somebody else to practice with. You also, in the Zoom app, when you open it up, there's a little gear in the upper right-hand corner. If you click on that, that's your settings. And there you could click on the video, and then you could see your own video and you could play with it. You could also record your outgoing audio and listen to what it sounds like. And the one thing I've learned, and I'm stubborn, the one thing I've learned is to check your settings, right? That really matters. And you know, you gotta test. And testing, you can't do too much of. Before I forget it, I don't know if I said this, but I am teaching, this is a commercial, pardon me for a moment. I am teaching a training segment online. It starts this week. And it is 11 days from the Amsterdam 5 training. And there's a few people there who are there. You can write something in the comments if you want to make a comment about it. You know who you are. But the Amsterdam 5 training, after the first segment, which is kind of getting to know the method from Moshe's perspective, we are his emissaries when we're teaching. Then we follow a developmental pathway for a couple of years in terms of the ATM. And at this point, we're at the transition from moving around yourself to moving yourself around, the beginning of locomotion. And it's the moment where the trainees are preparing to teach ATM, and they're starting. So they're, you know, they know what it means to be an ATM teacher. They're starting to get a handle on what it means to teach FI. The FI for the segment is praying to the table God or kneeling over the table. We're going to make each day available like twice a week. So Wednesdays and Sundays, you'll get all the recordings, the audio of the ATM, and the videos of the presentations, the exercises, the discussions. We'll meet twice a week, 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. on the weekend and on Wednesdays. You can look at the site for the schedule. And there'll be an online school where you'll have assignments. There'll be a forum where you can interact with people and things you could do with your study buddy. I know it's not possible for everyone to afford it, so I've made some work study available so people can barter in exchange for making transcripts. I'm going to do some ATM teaching as well, and I'll come back to this idea that Nafi brought up maybe before we finish. But this is a chance, maybe, to do something you never had the time or the ability to do, which is to come back to a training. So I invite you to join me if that's interesting. Anybody else?
I have a really technical question. With the iPhones, with the smartphones, people can watch the group like on the computer or on the iPad?
Do you have a smartphone? You can see more than one person, but on my phone, I think it's four people at a time.
Yeah, but I have a computer, but if the student has a
I'm saying a telephone, on my phone, I don't have an iPhone, I have an A phone, I have an Android, which should be an A phone, that should be an Apple, should be an A phone. Anyways, an Android. And on my Android, when I'm calling into a meeting, I my window, instead of seeing 25 people, it shows four or one. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is on an iPhone. Someone will have to tell us.
But I can see a person who participates on an iPhone or a smartphone. I can see her, this person. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
So Larry?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Susie.
Hey, Susie.
Hey, Larry. As a host, I'm not addressing the homework that you just asked about. I'm asking about being
I'm giving up. People want to talk about other stuff. Okay.
I heard you ask the question. I was with Nafi and Betty, and we were talking about we're doing experiments this week with some people, trials, and we're going to get back together and talk. That's our homework. Mm-hmm. About the experience. My question is, as a host, how do you jump in and out of the groups, the small groups? Where are you manipulating all of that from?
So I'm the host. On the bottom of my screen, I have a few choices you don't have. One is to control the recording, and you can give other people, the co-hosts, or even a student, the ability to control the recording. So you can make that somebody else's job if you don't remember. But I also have a breakout rooms button, and it's on the breakout rooms button, that I have the ability to start a meeting and also to jump into meetings. And I have an overview of all the meetings and who's in which meeting. And I can move people around from that screen. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and somebody raised their hand. So you want to ask your question? Irafili, is that it?
Yeah, that's me. Thanks. Hi. Well, no, it's not actually a question. It's okay. I think that for like at least, can I say my generation? What you said about Moshe trying to get his work out on television or like digital satellite television. I don't know what was back then, but I made this comment on Facebook. You replied to yesterday about how much I hate doing these online lessons, and it really occurred to me right now by what you were talking about that because I was raised with a computer. I've had the computer since I was a kid. So I
what we call a digital native.
Yeah. So I kind of forget the amazing opportunity it gives. So thank you. It was like, you know, I only saw the bad part of having to teach online because I was privileged to be in a room with other people. And now it really makes sense and how I can actually, you know, see it from a good point of view.
And look.
And be really appreciative of the communication.
And the great thing is when you are the convener and the facilitator, you get to set the stage. So, you know, you don't have to teach like anybody else. Right? Oscar Wilde said, be yourself, everyone else is taken. I mean, be you as a teacher, be the best you. You know, which means messing up and dealing with that as best you can. But that means you get to choose what your comfort zone is, where you want to stretch yourself, and your students will engage with you and they'll challenge you, and that something will come out of that if you let it. That will be what's most valuable. But, you know, find a way that works for you. And thank you for saying that. Yeah. I appreciate that. And I appreciated you writing the other day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yeah. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Esther.
I would like to say that it opened my eyes. I'm going to have my first lesson tomorrow that I'm going to teach. And it opened my eyes that it isn't just like doing an audio where people listen, like you listen to a tape and then you go through it. It's different. And it's not the same like having the people in the same room. So I will be more open to be aware in the moment, how can I reach my people that are not in the same room and that I don't hear their breath and I don't hear their voices.
Right.
So you gave me some clues what to look for to teach a little bit different instead of trying to do the same with another media. Thank Perfect. You very much.
Perfect. I think it can be fun. Right? But I think it does require doing something different. And look, we're all doing something new. I mean, yesterday when I gave this talk, I was the most nervous I'd been about anything I've done in a long time. I was like, because I'm excited about this, you know, I mean, this is something that has interested me for the longest time. And what was interesting was when I talked about it with people, there was, you know, one end of the scale, people would say, oh, this is so cool, this is possible. And then other people would say, well, you can't teach everything online. Well, usually what they meant is you couldn't teach FI. I don't know. Well, in the online, in the segment online, we're going to have some interesting ways to, how do you explore FI when you're on your own? You know, with yourself. But what I'm curious about is what this can do. and what's possible. And I'm excited about what we have to offer. And yet we have this technology. Could you imagine if it was 1977 and we had like group telephone lines, party lines? You know, or like when I started doing this, it was audio. We met on audio meetings. There was no video. And what I really liked about what Esther said is that there's this difference between providing people with content and supporting them in learning, right? And so, you know, I mean, I have content that I make available. My aim really is to create programs around that content, either things that people can do on their own or things that people can do with each other in different places at the same time and different times. But I'm more interested in being a teacher than a content provider. And I want to use the content as part of the means for helping people practice the method, just like you and I use our notes and our recordings for our own learning. Why not support our students in doing that? You know, that's what we have to offer, is it's this methodology of questions, this way of finding the answers with people to create moments where we learn together, not to give people answers. Right? That's what the lessons are about. That's what we can do. Right? And to help people feel like connected to themselves, and that we have this ability, you know, to, you know, not like it's a switch you turn on and off, but we have these ways, these processes for engaging with ourselves so that we can choose our attitudes and our actions. You know, that every day or all the time, but I think that's what the method is about. Dennis Leary, he talked about, you know, this idea of mind-body integration being a potential. You know, it's like language. We all have this potential to use language beautifully or horribly, not just as a production, but as a way of interacting with other people. You know, and the same thing here. We have the ability to develop our coordination, the efficacy of our action. We can be resilient. It is a capacity, and it's one that we develop, and we have a methodology for helping people develop it. I hope what I've shown you today will give you some other possibilities to think about what you're doing. And what I forgot to say yesterday is I'm really curious about what you learn. So please let me know. I mean, not a novella, a postcard, a short email, or a message. I'm really curious. And I want to take seriously the point that Nafi brought up, which is, how can we connect? I know that there's some other people connecting online in different ways. What Allison Rapp is doing, and I'll put a link to that information in the blog that I write, and I'll put a link to some other people who have. I found a presentation done for kind of a somatic approach to working online, not a Feldenkrais one. And I'll put a link to that so you can check that out. And you know, I'll think about one way to maybe make a way that we could meet, you know, a possibility for that to happen. Because honestly, I'm curious about what you're going to learn. I want to hear about it. And I want to learn from what you're learning. So I don't have any answers. I want to think about that. If people want to participate in that, you know how to get in touch with me. It's just my name in front of the website, larry@mindinmotion-online.com. Anyways, thank you for coming. Thank you for spending this time together. And thanks for, you know, being courageous. Because it's going to require our courage.
Thank you, Larry.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Larry.
Cheers.
Thank